السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله الرحمن الرحيم.
نعم يا شيخ. السلام عليكم.
How are you going?
نعم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, we had in class yesterday the lessons from two major chapters, Babu Qabul Al-Hadiyya and Babu Ma Man Lam Yaqbal Al-Hadiyyata Lamma Dakhal Al-Bughd Fi Al-Nas. The first chapter is about Qabul Al-Hadiyya, accepting gifts. What benefit do Muslims gain or obtain when they mutually exchange gifts amongst themselves? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, that will come under Hadith 594, in a report from him by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tahadu tahabu. Mutually, he gave a command, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, tahadu, exchange gifts amongst yourselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to exchange gifts amongst ourselves. He said, when we do that, we would mutually love ourselves. The hadith was explained with some details yesterday. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us, alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave us an encouragement. He admonished us very strongly to exchange gifts amongst ourselves, and then we love ourselves. This means that whenever there is discord amongst Muslims, one of the ways of resolving discord is through exchange of gifts, because exchange of gifts will bring the matter from the opposite of discord, and that is mutual love and inclination. So when a man is in a disagreement with his home, a woman is in a disagreement with her husband, two brothers are in disagreement, two sisters disagreement, one of the ways to quench that fire of disagreement is through exchanging gifts. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when we exchange gifts, tahabu, you would love one another. The second hadith was an advice from a man who had children and grandchildren numbering over 120, right, in his lifetime. In the lifetime of Anas ibn Malik, his children were and grandchildren were well over 120. He gave an advice about a means of mutual cooperation amongst them, radiallahu anhu. He advised them, he said, tabadhalu bainakum fa innahu awaddu lima bainakum fa innahu awaddu lima bainakum tabadhalu bainakum. Exchange gifts amongst yourselves because it will help your relationship. It is most beneficial for your relationship for you to exchange gifts. It means giving gifts is so important. Everybody give gifts, exchange gifts. Women, give gifts to your husband. Men, give gifts to your wife. Brothers, give your sisters. Sisters, give your brothers. Brothers, give yourselves. Sisters, give yourselves. When you exchange gifts, you love one another. And Allah will employ that as a means of strengthening your relationship. But there is a comma to accepting gifts from people. We should not accept gifts from people if it becomes clear to us through one means or the other that the reason for giving the gifts is an unlawful reason. The reason for providing the gift is something that Allah hates. Then in that circumstance, we should not accept the gift. Maybe the gift itself is a gift that is not lawful in itself. Imagine that you get a gift of a pig or pork. Imagine that you get a gift of alcohol. If we are to reject gifts because the intentions behind them are unlawful, how about when the gift itself is unlawful? If you have a gift of something that is inherently in itself unlawful in the Sharia, then it means it is not permissible to accept gifts that are not lawful. If it is not appropriate to accept a gift, if when the intentions behind them are unlawful, then it is definitely not allowed to accept gifts. When those gifts themselves are things that are unlawful. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahadahu rajulun min bani fazara naqatan fa'awadahu. He received a gift from a man. That man was from Banu Fazara. He gave a gift of a camel to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعَوَّضَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also returned another kind of gift. He gave a gift, the Prophet gave him a gift. فَتَسَخَّطَهُ. But the man considered the gift of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be small. So he despised, he felt disgusted. Am I the one the Prophet is giving this kind of thing? He disgusted the gift that was given to him in return by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, فَسَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ يَقُولُ. So I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying while on the minbar that yahdi ahadukum fa'u'awiduhu biqadri ma indi thumma yaskhatuhu. He said, one of you, yahdi ahadukum, one of you will give a gift, fa'u'awiduhu biqadri ma indi, and then I will return the gift in the level, in the extent of what I have. Thumma yaskhatuhu, after I have given him all that is within my ability and capability, thumma yaskhatuhu, then he comes subsequently despising and disgusting what I have given. Wayyumullah, I swear by Allah, لا أقبل بعد عام هذا من العربي هدية إلا من قرشي أو أنصاري أو ثقفي أو دوسي. I swear by Allah, I will not accept after this year, I will not accept any gift from anyone amongst the Arabs, إلا من قرشي, except from someone from Quraysh, أو أنصاري, or someone from the people of Medina, or Thaqafiyin, or from someone from Banu Thaqif in Taif, or Dawsiyin, or someone from the Banu Daws from Yemen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to reject gifts, because the intention here, for those who, or for the man who brought that gift, was to get a gift that was bigger than the gift that he gave. The man gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a gift with the intention of getting something better. And when the Prophet returned the gift, he hated what the Prophet gave sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if this is what will become of the situation when you give somebody a gift, a return gift for his own original gift, then it means in the first place the man did not deserve that you should accept his own gift. These were the lessons in the class yesterday, the lessons about the virtue of giving gifts, the excellence of providing gifts to your brothers. And we gave a difference between as-sadaqah and al-hadiyah. Sadaqah usually comes from someone who has to someone who is in need. He has a level of maskana, poverty, or he has haja, he has a need pressing. Then you provide that gift, you provide the sadaqah in that circumstance. But as for gifts, it can come from the rich to the poor. It can come from the poor to the rich. It can come in between the rich. A gift is a gift. It is not because the man was ill or because he had no breakfast or dinner to eat and then you provided him some food. No, he has. And then all that, you don't even know that he has enough or not. You just felt to give him a gift of love, a gift of appreciation or gratitude, or the a sadaqah and a hadiyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would reject sadaqah basically. He would reject zakat and the lack of that. But he is allowed sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept gifts, hadiyah, or hadaya. And this hadith is one of the evidences that it is lawful for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to accept gifts. The next chapter we like to look at in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, is the chapter that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has titled Bab al-Haya, the chapter about Al-Haya, the chapter about Haya'u. In a single word, we usually translate Haya'u to imply modesty or an appreciable sense of shyness. We say modesty. But what does that really mean? The scholars say that al-haya khulqun yamna al-shakhs min al-fi'l al-qabih. Al-haya is a khulq, is a character trait, a way of behaving. Yamna al-shakhs min al-fi'l al-qabih. That character trait, when you have it, it will prevent you min al-fi'l al-qabih. It will prevent you from doing anything indecent, any indecent action. You have a mindset. Something holds you back from being indecent, whether in your speech, whether in your action. That character of avoiding to get into something that is indecent is called haya'u. And the reason why you want to get away from indecency is because of your iman. When a person is pushed by iman, khulqun yamna'u ash-shakhsa min al-fi'l al-qabih bisabab al-iman. A character trait, yamna'u min al-fi'l al-qabih, it prevents the individual from getting into indecent speech. He gets into a fight that is needless. He behaves badly to people. بسبب الإيمان. He avoids all these kinds of things because of iman. That character, that way of behaving is called al-haya'u. Maybe that is what we mean when we say modesty or shyness. When the individual is modest, he does not want to get into any sort of an indecency. He does not want to get indecent. And when people become indecent, he walks away. And that's the lack of what Allah told us in the Quran. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. In fact, earlier in that verse, Allah said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The servants of Allah, Ar-Rahman, they are a group of people. Ar-Rahman, Ibadur Rahman. They are الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. When they walk on the surface of the earth, they are calm in their walk. On the surface of the earth, they walk calmly. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When they walk by someone who is indecent, they walk away honorably. They don't get involved in indecency. And now, because of the season that we are in, maybe we should say that one of the explanations regarding this verse is that when they see non-Muslims feasting and celebrating, maru kirama, they walk away. Because the celebrations of non-Muslims are indecent. So they don't get involved. Maru, they walk honorably away from indecency. That character that makes them do this, because of iman, is called al-haya'u. I hope that it is clear. So for a Muslim woman, it is al-haya'u, not wanting to be indecent, to make her not expose her zina, her rings, her chains, her earrings, her necklaces. She does not want to expose it. Why? It is indecent because Allah describes doing that as from the aspects of jahiliyyah. Exposing ornament is jahiliya. So a Muslim woman will not do that. She's shy. She holds back. When Allah described the mother of Isa alayhi salam in the Quran, it says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Who did he mention? وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مُرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَمُرَأَةَ لُوتٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحِينَ. That is for the wife of Nuh and Lut. They were indecent. But as for Maryam, Allah said, Wa Maryam ibnat Imran allati ahsanat farjaha. This is the point. Allah says, Wa Maryam ibnat Imran. As for Imran, allati ahsanat farjaha. She was a woman who will protect her farj. Farj here is the sleeves. If you are wearing a cloth, you know the sleeve of the hand in between the hand and the cloth that gets exposed when a woman stretches her hand. You see there is an exposure of her sleeves. For Maryam ahsanat farjaha, she will cover up that place, not wanting her arms to be exposed. So this is from the aspects of haya'u. She does not want anything that is not due for exposure on her body to become exposed. And what pushes a person to that kind of a behavior is iman. When it is like this, we say it is haya'u. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Babul Haya, the chapter about modesty or al-haya'u. I think we have understood the meaning of haya'u. In Hadith 597, in our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Yunus, Qala Haddathana Zuhair, Qala Haddathana Mansur an Ribi'i ibn Hirash, Qala Haddathana Abu Mas'ud Uqbatu, Qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Inna mimma adraka an-nas. In my copy it says, Inna mimma adraka an-nas. This occurs, and I think many of the brothers have that copy, the copy of Maktabatul Hadi al-Muhammadi. It has a fatha on that nas. Inna mimma adraka an-nas. We'll come back to it. In other copies, like in the copy of the Sharh by Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaij, Hafidhahullah, by Al-Maktabatul Islamiyya. And I'm aware that that Sharh has been printed by other printers. The copy of Sheikh Hussein Al-Awaij of Al-Maktabatul Islamiyya, it says, Inna mimma adraka an-nasu. Likewise, if you go to Sahih al-Bukhari, with the same isnad, this isnad of Ahmad ibn Yunus, from Zuhair, from Mansur, from Ribi'i, from Abu Mas'udin, reporting this hadith, it says, Inna mimma adraka an-nasu. We come back to that. So in this print, however, it says, Inna mimma adraka an-nasa min kalam al-nubuwati. إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. صحيح البخاري says رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن يونس قال حدثنا زهير قال حدثنا منصور عن ربعي بن حراش قال حدثنا أبو مسعود عقبة قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Inna mimma adraka an-nasa min kalam an-nubuwah idha lam tastahi fasna ma shi'ta idha lam tastahi aw idha lam tastahi fasna ma shi'ta. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reports that hadith from his own Shaykh Ahmad ibn Yunus, that is Abu Abdullah al-Yarbu'i rahimahullah. Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Yarbu'i was the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this hadith. He is Ahmad ibn Yunus, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Zuhair. That is Imam Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, Abu Khaythamat al-Kufi. Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, well-known from the scholars of hadith, from Thiqat, well-known, trustworthy narrators and teachers of Sunnah, was Zuhair ibn Muawiyah. He said, Haddathana Mansur. That is another well-known scholar, Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar, As-Sulami, Rahimahullah. He is reporting from that eminent Tabi'i, Ribi'i ibn al-Hirash, Abu Maryam. We have some of our brothers via that kunya, Abu Maryam. One of the Tabi'un who had that kunya was Ribi'i ibn al-Hirash. Rahimahullah is the one reporting this hadith from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. That is what he is most commonly known for, his kunya, Abu Mas'ud. I usually repeat this, and we have seen it repeatedly. Firstly, is that about every person in this room, every person, in fact, to such an extent that some of the people are not known, their names are not known, like Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, here in this hadith. He is Uqba ibn Amr, that's his name, Uqba ibn Amri, radiyallahu anhu. But if you say Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, he is more known with his kunya. Yani ishtahara bi kunyatihi, became more well known with his kunya Abu Mas'udin, and that's his nisba al-Badri. People think when you say al-Badri that Abu Mas'ud took part in the Battle of Badr. No, he only took residence in al-Badr, that place where the war between the people of Iman and Kufr took place, called Badr. Abu Mas'udin at a point in time took residence in a water point around that area, around a water point in that area. So he became to be ascribed to Badr. So that was why he was called most popularly as Abu Mas'udin al-Badri, or his name was Uqba ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu. He said, Qala al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Inna mimma adraka an-nasu. This is what the reports have said. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah in Fathul al-Bari, he said, all the reports have come with Inna mimma adraka an-nas. What the people in the generations have met, the people, what they came across, what they got aware of, what the people got aware of, al-Rafi, inna mimma adraka an-nasu, from the things that the people got aware of. But the scholars say, yajuzu bin nasbi, for us to say, inna mimma adraka an-nasa, from the things that have reached the people. So in the first one, the people were the noun. Inna mimma adraka an-nasu. They are the ones, they were the ones that got aware of those things. So adraka an-nas, the people met those things. But if you say adraka an-nasa, those things came to the people. So that's just the difference. But the meaning stands that what you find from one generation to the other of human beings, min kalamin nubuwa, from the statements of prophethood that the people have heard from one generation to the other, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a rasul to his home, to his children. Allah gave Adam alayhi salam. Allah gave him Sharia. Allah gave Adam Sharia. He preached that Sharia amongst his people, his children, his wives, his wife, his children. And those who were there in the first 10 generations up to the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, all these people, كلهم كانوا على الإسلام. They were all upon Islam. 10 generations. 10 generations, the Sharia that they were upon were brought to them by their father, Adam alayhi salam, until Shirk started with the people amongst whom Allah raised Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Those people began to take to Shirk in the way we have explained repeatedly through pictures. The people, Shaitan, came to them and suggested to them that those people who were known to be full of worship amongst them, like Allah told us their names in Surah Nuh, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدَّوْا وَلَا سُوَاعُوا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوكَ وَنَصْرَ. These were the names of righteous people amongst those that Allah raised Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam amongst them. So the people, Shaitan, suggested to them to make the images of these people so that it will encourage them to be worshipping. So it started with making diagrams, and then images were made, and then subsequent generations were told that the right thing they should do is to actually worship these people, and then shirk started. So Allah raised Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to invite them to Tawheed. And then subsequent generation, they were destroyed because they got determined never to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah saved Nuh and those who were with him. And from those who were in the boat with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they had inkirad in their own ansab. Their own lineages withered away. It was only the lineage of Nuh and his three children, Ham, Sam, and Yafuth, from these three, that the rest of us came as human beings. That was what Allah told us in Surah As-Saffat. وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. So it was only جَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. We made the children of Nuh هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ to be the ones who remained. So from about 70 who were with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in the boat, Allah had told us that those who believed in Nuh were qalil. So they were about 70 or 80 or thereabout. They all passed away, except those from the children of Nuh, from among those his children who had followed him. So from the three of them, Ham, Sam, and Yafuth, the rest of the human beings began to procreate. We got from the children of Ham, Sam, and Yafuth, human beings began to multiply again. Don't forget, human beings have started multiplying from Adam and Hawa alone. This time the multiplication came from Ham, Sam, and Yafuth and their own wives. And then human beings began to double. And then later on in generations, Allah sent Ibrahim, Allah sent other messengers as time went on. In all of these generations, from time to time, there was a regular thing in the deen of the people. The first of them is that, like Allah told us in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. In every generation, Allah raised their prophets to tell them that Allah alone should be worshipped. Allah alone deserves worship. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Worshipping Allah alone will not be complete until when we worship Allah alone and abstain completely from directing worship to anything apart from Allah. This was a regular thing. So according to the hadith we have read today, another thing that was regular that the people met from generation to generation is that they were told that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَحْشِيتَ. If you are not shy, if you don't feel, if you miss out a sense of modesty, then first na'ama shit, you can do as you desire, meaning that people will act indecently because they lack the sense of haya. Otherwise, if they have haya'u, they will not act indecently. So the statement that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ was a statement that had come from Adam, from Noah, from Ibrahim, from Musa, from Isa, and down up to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Just like Tawheed, another thing that came from generation to generation is those who are not modest. When a person lacks modesty, يَفْعَلُ مَا شَاءَ, that is when you see them do just what they like. Otherwise, if a person has haya, he does not act as he likes. He does not say what he likes. He does not do what he likes. He only says what is appropriate and decent. He only acts appropriately and decent. Why? Because that person has khulukun yamna ush-shakhs min al-fi'l al-qabih. He has a character trait yamna ush-shakhs that to prevent the individual min al-fi'l al-qabih from acting indecently. That character trait that will prevent you, don't act indecently, بسبب الإيمان, because of Iman. That character trait is called Al-Haya'u. So because of Iman, don't act indecently. How will I act indecently when I have Iman? Why should a person of Iman speak indecently? Why should I act indecently? Why should I behave badly if I have Iman? That urge not to do so is called Al-Haya'u. So a man wants to beat up somebody, he say, ha, subhanallah, why should I behave like this? That thing that makes you hold back is your Haya'u. If you have a lot of it, in a lot of times, you will not behave indecently. If you have little of it, in a lot of times, you will be behaving indecently. You will speak indecently. You will act indecently. You can fight anywhere. You can abuse anybody like a bole kaja. You can be insulting to anybody. You can behave badly to anybody. Some people in our own times, they will boast of it. They say, there's nobody I cannot insult. The reason why you are like that is because you have little haya'u. If you have haya'u, you will know that it is not appropriate to be a coarse, long-mouthed individual like each and every one of us. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to us that inna mimma adraka an-nasu min kalam an-nubuwwah. It is adraka an-nas. Ibn Hajar, as we said earlier, rahimahullah al-hafiz, he said all the riwayat came with adrak an-nas, what the people have met from generation to generation of prophets and messengers. There was a constant. One of those things that were constant is that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي, if you lack modesty, then إِسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, then do what you like, act what you like, say what you like if you lack modesty. So this is from the things that you are regular. Other things we are regular. There were things that you are regular from one generation to the other. We gave example of Tawheed. It is the first and the most regular of everything. Okay, from the things of prohibitions, some of the scholars have mentioned that zina and riba were regular. Prohibition of zina was a regular thing. Allah does not have a messenger where in his own Sharia, zina was halal. La haram. It has always ever been haram amongst human beings. Always ever haram amongst human beings. Likewise, riba, consuming usury, riba, it has been haram. Fima adrakan nas min nubuwati al-ula, from the things that we have met from one generation to the other generation, is that shirk is haram, riba is haram, riba is haram, zina is haram. These are from the things we have met from generation to generation. From the things we have met, some of the scholars have mentioned that also is salat. Salat has always been from one generation to the other. Salat has always been there from one generation to the other. There were some things that were allowed in some Sharia, like in the Sharia of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course the one from his father Ya'qub. It was allowed to greet people by bending down. When you bend as we bend in Ruku'a, you can greet people like that or lower than that. It was allowed. We remember that that was from the manifestation of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. Kharru lahu sujada. His father, his mother, and the rest of his siblings. Kharru lahu. They went bowing down for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah and others after him, they say there is ijma' of the scholars, ijma' consensus, that in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, greeting people bowing down is haram. It was halal in the Sharia of Yusuf, haram in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So these are how things come. They may be allowed in the Sharia, haram in another Sharia. In the Sharia previously before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, if they fought a war, they would not share the booty of the war, the ghanima. But in the Sharia of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, it was lawful and it is still lawful to share the booty of the war. So these kinds of things occur. Some halal at some time, haram at another Sharia. However, in this circumstance, some things were regular. They never changed. And that was why when Allah said, شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. At the end he says, أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُ. إِقَامَةُ الدِّينَ had to do with those matters. They were regular. They came from one generation to the other. And there were also things that were prohibited, like that prohibited in every generation. Prohibited in every generation. From the things that was commanded in every generation is that we all should have haya'u, shyness or modesty. We have repeatedly explained that al-haya'u is khulukun yamna'u shakhsa min al-fi'li al-qabih, a character trait that will prevent you from falling into things that are bad, speaking badly. In fact, you won't even say because someone spoke to you badly, you will speak to the person badly. Haya'u will prevent you, even though you have a right to return, haya'u will prevent you from returning bad speech for bad speech. Your own haya'u will hold you back from returning bad actions with bad actions. Bi sababil iman, you will see in yourself that why will I be a person of iman and then speak like this? But those who don't care, who do who don't care about their higher, then they do what they like, they say what they like, they steal, they cheat, they become indecent, they do whatever they like, because they don't have something in them that will prevent them from acting indecently. That thing they lack that should prevent them from acting indecently is called al-haya'u. I hope that this hadith, inshallah, is clear. We can look at hadith 598. We can look at hadith 598, where Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, حدثنا محمد بن كثير قال أخبرنا سفيان عن سهيل بن أبي صالح عن عبد الله بن دينار عن أبي صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال الإيمان بضع وستون أو بضع وسبعون شعبة أفضلها لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Abdullah Al-Abadi. Abu Abdullah Al-Abadi Muhammad ibn Kathir is the Sheikh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this hadith. Abu Abdullah Al-Abadi is the Sheikh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, Akhbarana Sufyan, that is referring to Al-Imam Sufyan Thawri ibn Sa'id. Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Sa'id ibn Masruq, because his father Sa'id ibn Masruq was also from amongst the scholars. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He is now reporting from a well-known scholar of Hadith, Suhail ibn Abi Salih. Suhail was a very learned person. He has brothers too, all of whom were from Abna'u Abi Salih. Abu Salih himself, his name is Thakwan As-Samman Zayat Zakwan. So here his son Suhail is reporting from Abdullah ibn Dinar rahimahullah. Abu Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Dinar is now reporting from the father of Suhail, meaning that Abdullah ibn Dinar reported that hadith from Abu Salih Saman Ibn Zakwan, As-Samman, Zakwan, As-Samman, As-Zayyad, the student of Abu Huraira. But that hadith came from his student, Abdullah ibn Dinar. And from him, Suhail ibn Abi Salih reported that hadith, meaning that between father and son, there was a student. Between father, Abu Salih, and his son Suhail, there was Abdullah ibn Dinar. And that hadith, Abu Salih reported it from Abu Huraira, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that al-imanu bid'un wa sittun aw bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. Iman is bid'un is a word that describes 1 to 9. So Arabs will say bid'un wa ishrun, the mean is 21 or 23 or 25 or 27 or 29. When they say bid'un, a number in a group of numbers, it can be 3 or 5 or 7 or 9. So they are not sure which one is it. They will say bid'ah. That is 20 some number, 20 something, like we say in English. But for them, they mean when they say Bidru, between 1 and 9. So if they attach it to Ishrun, it will be 21 to 9, either 21 or 23 or 25, and so on. So here he says, builds unwasitun, meaning 60 some, 60 something. It will mean 61, 3, 5, 67, or 69. Our builds unwasabun, the same thing, or 71, or 73, or 75, and the like of that. He says, Iman has these number of branches, shoba. The shoba of something is the qita from that thing, branch. Shobatun is it is qita'tun min kulli shay. So Iman has 60 something branches or 70 something branches. Iman has 60 something branches or 70 something branches. Afdaluha, the best of these branches, meaning that aktharuha thawaban wa a'laha indallah. Aktharuha thawaban, the most rewarding of the branches of Iman, wa a'laha, and the highest of them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is la ilaha illallah. So the first and the most important thing about Iman is that declaration that no one deserves worship except Allah. The best, the most important thing about Iman is the declaration that no one deserves worship except Allah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, afdaluha, yani afdalu shu'abil iman. The most important of the branches of Iman is la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha ima tatul adha anit tariq. And the lowest of them, the most important is la ilaha illallah. The lowest of them is imatatul adha anit tariq, removing harm or hurt from the road. That is the lowest of the forms of Iman. The lowest branch of Iman is to remove hurt from the road of the people of Iman. We had read in Hadith 593 that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that man amata adhan min tariq al muslimin kutibat lahu hasanatun. Whoever removes hurt, harm, from the road of Muslims, kutibat lahu hasanatun, a huge reward. One huge reward is written for him. Waman tukubbilat lahu hasanatun dakhala al-jannah. And whoever has one huge reward accepted before Allah for him, dakhala al-jannah, that individual, Allah will grant him entrance into al-jannah. This is the one, imatatul adha anit tariq, adnaha, the lowest in the level of Iman, the lowest in the branches of Iman, imatatul adha anit tariq. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal haya'u shu'batun min al Iman. One of the branches again of Iman is what? Al-Haya'u. What is Al-Haya'u? Al-Haya'u, Al-Haya'u, we have been talking about. Al-Haya'u is khulqun yamna'u shakhsa min al-fi'l al-qabih bisabab al-Iman. It is khulqun, a character, yamna'u shakhs, it will prevent the individual min al-fi'l al-qabih bisabab al-Iman. It will prevent him from getting into things that are bad, things that are evil, things that are shameful because of Iman. He will look at Iman, I can't do this. So this is called Al-Haya'u. الحياء شعبة من الإيمان. It is one of the various branches, various levels, so to speak, of Iman, al-Haya. So here the Prophet told us about three things. Afdaluha la ilaha illallah. The best in the levels of Iman is Qawlu la ilaha illallah. The second one is Imatatu al-Adha anit tariq. The third one is al-Haya. He said it is Shu'batun min al-Iman. The point of reference why this hadith is under this chapter on Al-Haya'u is for us to understand that a major branch of Iman is what? Al-Haya'u. Ikhwa, there must be Haya'u. There must be Haya'u. What is Haya'u? That character that prevents you from being indecent. Let us be saying the meaning. Sometimes when we say modesty, people don't know. Unless it is not clear, the meaning of al-haya'u is it is khulukun yamna'u shakhs min al-fayl al-qabih. It is a character that prevents the individual from getting into indecent things. Let us repeat this, keep it in your mind. So when I get, you get, she gets, any one of us gets into something indecent, it is because of what? Killatul haya. That character that holds you back. No, don't do that. No, don't behave like that. Oh, no, don't talk like that. Oh, don't be like that. That character that holds you back from bad things. It holds you back from indecency. Because of Iman, it's called Al-Haya'u. A woman would avoid easy communication with men because of Haya. The one who doesn't care, every man has access to her. Her telephone number is everywhere. Anybody can phone her. She will have little Hayahu. Anybody can say anything to her, whether she follows them upon it or not. The same thing, men. Don't be a pure water. You are everywhere. You talk everywhere. You sit everywhere. You eat everywhere. No demarcations. Everything is everywhere for you. This is because of your haya'u that is small. You joke everywhere with everything. You laugh everywhere with everything. Everything concerns you. Every post is your concern. You get involved with everything. Definitely you get involved with every indecent thing. Anybody who gets involved with every talk gets involved in indecency. He does not mind his business. She does not mind her business. She wants to talk about everybody's family. For some young people, they want to carry information from one learned person to the other. You want to talk about everything. You have a comment about everything. You can't even keep quiet. You don't respect yourself. You are not shy. Fasna mashit. So you go on saying what you like. You go on doing what you like. You go on behaving as you like. You don't have any kind of self-restriction at all. So this, your lack of self-restriction, self-moderation, is what is called that you have little haya'u. So if we want to define haya'u, we can call it self-moderation, something that moderates your life. Self-restriction, it holds you back from indecency. Some people are just like that, open, no restrictions, nothing. He gets involved in everything. Everything about him is evil. Any reasonable person will like to keep away from him. He talks too much, he laughs too much, he jokes too much, he comments about everything, whether in his house, outside his house, amongst the scholars, he's there. Carrying the news from one learned person to the other is shameless. A Muslim should not be like this. If you find somebody like this, it is because of Killatul Haya. He has the self-restriction that is small. Some women are like that too. Her own house is bad. She carries the news too. She goes from one house to the other. So all of these kinds of things should stop. We should be self-restricting. we should be self-moderating. The character that will moderate your behavior, moderate your speech, moderate your action is called al-haya. It is a major part of iman. It will affect your speech. It will affect your dressing, your look. You not go look anyhow anywhere. You pay attention to everything you do. You know what you say. You know what you did not say. You know what you will get involved in. You know what you will not get involved in. Your carriage, when you sit down, when you walk, when you talk, when you stop talking, when you smile, everything will be moderate. This character inside you that helps you balance all of these things is what is called al-haya'u. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all and make us from the people of haya'u. It is not good at all that a Muslim is shameless individual. It is not good at all. It is not good at all. That is what Yorubas call asha. Yasha. Yorubas call it asha. He lacks haya. She lacks haya. If you find it amongst a woman, the husband will not like her. If you find it with a man, the wife will just be managing him. He can say anything to his wife. He doesn't care. He does not have anything that restricts him. This one is not good. Don't talk like that. May Allah protect us. If a person is like that, he lacks a haya. That's why those who do that, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna mimma azraka nasu min kalamin nubuwatil ula, as it is in some report, is that idha lam tastahi fasna' ma shi't. If you lack haya'u, then go on. Just go on. Say what you like. Do what you like. Act what you like. Behave as you like. Dress as you like. Talk to anybody you like as a woman. Talk to anybody you like as a man amongst the women. No moderation. No restriction. No guidelines. Like an animal walking on the street. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So we all have to go back to the drawing board. Reorganize ourselves as much as haya'u is concerned. Learn it. We have always repeatedly said we can learn character. We can learn a particular behavior. This one, the behavior is that behavior, yamna'uka min al-fi'l al-qabih. It will prevent you from getting into indecent actions and statements. That behavior that prevents you is called al-haya'u, and it is shu'batun min al-iman, a major branch of iman, as we have read from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in the next class, we come back to more explanations about this hadith, and then we can proceed from there. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned about 10 ahadith under this chapter, about 8 ahadith under the chapter of al-haya'u. Of course, al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. So it deserves a lot of attention. Was the reason why al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned these ahadith to be many, so that we can spend more time talking about al-haya'u, hoping that Allah makes us from the people of haya. May Allah pardon each and every one of us. Maybe we can look at one or two questions that we have on the lessons today. Abu Abdurrahman.
Salawatullah alaykum ya Shaykh Ali.
Ameen wa liyakum Abu Abdurrahman.
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum fi jazakum.
Now the first question here is, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, is it regarded as part of shyness, modesty, if an elder falsely and continuously casts aspersion on someone's authority, and the person is a person leading Madrasa Islamia, and the person kept quiet, what if someone replied?
Please come back again with this question.
says, please, is it regarded as part of shyness or modesty if an elder falsely and continuously casts aspersion on someone's authority, leading madrasa or Islamia, and the person kept quiet? What if someone replies in?
He casts aspersions at a person's authority.
Now,
which person's authority? The authority of the person asking question.
Person asking question is the person that leads a madrasa or Islamia. But an elderly person will do that to him.
Okay. An elderly person insults a person who heads a madrasa. I always advise young people when we relate with elders, don't allow the narrative to change. Maybe the elder may be wrong in insulting you. If you reply, the topic will change. It will change from whatever that elderly person had done. They will say you are rude to an elderly person. They won't ask what that person did to you again. It's a big fitna for young people when you relate with elders. Avoid doing something, saying something that will make the narrative to change. Maybe the elderly person was unjust to you, was bad towards you, and you are managing it as the head of the school or head of your home. You stomach it, you patiently keep quiet and all of these. Please keep it like that. Keep it like that. Because once you reply, the topic will change. That elderly person will say you are insulting him. So once people come to ask what happened, say, look at this boy. Am I your mate? You are insulting me. That is where the narrative will change. He will not say what he did. He will not say the negative thing that he did. I beg you in Allah's name, when you relate with elderly people, try to make sure that the narrative does not change from the original matter between you and him. It will now change to, oh, he's a rude boy. He insults anybody as he likes. Please, for the sake of Allah. It requires a lot of patience. But that is what Haya'u will teach us. It will change the topic, and you will not be able to defend yourself. There is nothing that you say. There is nothing that you say. Once the elderly man says that, oh, this person is very rude, look at him insulting me, then it is a difficult thing. You will have to go along. You need more patience now, more than the one you needed to keep quiet. So avoid replying an elder. Avoid it. There's a verbal altercation between you and an elder person. Avoid it for the sake of Allah. Take it. Whether you are in the right or you are in the wrong, avoid it. Avoid it. Otherwise, once the topic changes and he says you are rude towards him, it will be difficult for you to find water and soap to wash yourself clean. When elders brand you to say that you are rude, may Allah forgive each and every one of us.
This question, it is long. It reads, I have a friend that has been chained in the shackles of immorality, is a pawn, and masturbation. As much as it tries to stop, it keeps on getting worse. He is very scared of falling into sin. His parents eventually had to know about it, but they don't know how bad it is every other time. He is a devoted Muslim, and Allah knows best, but when those feelings, hurts, start, he is nothing different from a person affected by jinn. He loses total control of himself, loses his haya totally. Most time, he just has to remove the cap he wears because things he does at that time doesn't befit a person seem to be wearing cap, and a lot of other things that can be said. Sometimes even compulsory aspects of the religion are affected by his dealings. Ramadan, Salah, and other. His heart is always not at rest, except a few times, and those few times are short-lived. Everything is just so exhausting, and I can't even imagine how he feels or what is going through his head. And one way or the other, he has not gotten someone to marry. Please, what can be done? Sir, Jazakumullah khair.
Amin wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. Well, this is the condition of somebody that has istiwa the shaitan on him. Shaitan has taken over him. Why? Because he has allowed shaitan. If you allow shaitan, he will arrest you and put you into his prison. For this person, I think he is already in that prison now, as he himself has acknowledged. And he did not get into that prison one day. So the first thing to think about is that he must understand that he will not get out of that prison one day, as he did not get into that prison one day. He will not get out of that prison one day, just once like that. The next day is completely free. It may not be like that. Allah can, from His absolute mercy on this brother, and I ask for this favor of Allah for this brother, Allah can help him get over it in a day, in a moment, but it usually takes time, just like medicines take time. Sometimes people take medicines for the rest of their life. Sometimes people take medicines for illnesses over 6 months. Sometimes people take medicines for illnesses over a week, sometimes in a few days. But we don't know how it will be. In any case, a procedure for healing must start. It may take longer, it may take shorter, it may be immediate. Allah alone knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing this brother must have in mind. The second major thing he has to have in mind is that he needs one righteous person near him. He needs one righteous, learned person near him who understands his circumstance. He needs one good, learned, righteous person near him who understands his situation and can help him when this matter starts. He needs one person near him that will help him, because like we said, character influences character. If he has a learned and righteous person, perhaps that one talking to him, moving with him, regularly listening to sermons and all of this will help the other afflicted person get out of his situation. The third major thing that he needs, wallahi, is a lot of dua. He needs a lot of dua. The scholars have mentioned that one of the most effective things when someone becomes entangled like this is dua. Beg Allah sincerely. Beg Allah, make dua. Make serious, ardent, pressing dua. Oh Allah, help me. Cry to Allah. Wake up in the middle of the night. Cry to Allah. That's why, like I said in the second point, he needs a person who will help him, guide him, and ensure that he follows that procedure. It is very, very important. Dua is very efficacious. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ad-du'a'u yanfa'u fi ma nazala wa fi ma lam yanzil. Dua is effective regarding an affliction that is already present. Wa fi ma lam yanzil. It also is effective for things that have not happened. So whether that problem has come or not, in this case, it has come. So dua will be very effective as the third thing. The fourth thing I think will be useful for this brother in the circumstance is, after those three mentioned, is for him to keep a regular reading of the Quran, keep regular reading, recitation of the Quran, keep regular listening to the Quran, listening to the Quran regularly, recite the Quran regularly. If he's a person who can recite the Quran properly, I recommend for you to recite Surah Al-Baqarah once a day, every day. It was a medicine. A brother called me, complained about a matter. And I said, the Prophet encouraged us to recite repeatedly Surah Al-Baqarah. And the brother took it. Fortunately, we were in the vehicle with a brother who had a similar problem, but he did not tell me. So he was only hearing me telling the other person, explaining to the other person. This brother took it. He told me now that for about 3 months, he has recited Surah Al-Baqarah every day, and he has found peace in his life. Wallahi, I did not tell him. He was not the one that I was talking to. I was answering a question of a brother who complained that things are difficult for him. He doesn't even know whether it is shaitan that has tied him down, as he be reading Baqarah every day, be reading Surah Al-Baqarah. The other one who was in the vehicle told me 3 months later that his life has changed. He heard me answering a question. He took that answer for his own self, reading Al-Baqarah once a day, A to Z. And that, wallahi, he has gained. In fact, he has hardly missed Qiyamul Layl. This brother told me this about 3 months later. He was even the one reminding me about Surah Al-Baqarah in that discussion when he was telling me how he became used to it. So I like to encourage this brother as the fourth suggestion. Number four, read the Quran always, if it is possible for him to recite a Baqarah daily. He should recite Surah Al-Baqarah once a day, every day. Just continue to read it. Don't stop. Read a Baqarah every day. Bismillah, Allah will straighten his life. From the fifth thing, number five, that I like to encourage the brother, is that he should avoid the social media, especially the Facebook. That is the one that I know people are in. The other one that I know again is Instagram. I also heard that the TikTok is very bad. He should avoid these things, because if you are doing good and you are not avoiding evil, you can go back to where you were before. I beg you in Allah's name, avoid Facebook, avoid the Instagram for now, avoid the TikTok, avoid all these time-wasting ventures. They do not just waste your time, they bring you into troubles. They make you see things that are indecent. They make you hear and read things that are indecent. You hardly open any one of these devices or programs without seeing something bad. People are now used to bad things, thinking that it is normal. May Allah protect all of us. Avoid the social media. Things number seven that I will say is, try to attend lectures, maybe in your community. Go deep into the community. If you have a sheikh, ustad, wherever he's going to give a lecture, go with him. Go with him. Be with people of righteousness. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. So go with people of indecency, of people of decency. Avoid any kind of a contact with a woman that's not your sister. Avoid it. Don't say, oh, sister, this, sister, that. You are messaging their message. Avoid it. I think this is the second or the third of a case like this that I have heard. Please stick to these things. Make dua read Quran repeatedly, get a righteous brother near you, let him know your condition, and then he will help you bismillah to stick to these things. Avoid the social media, avoid Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all of these means of evil in our present times and diversion of attention. They can be very destructive. Avoid communicating with women who are not your sisters. Bismillah, Allah will protect you. Make a lot of dua. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah repeatedly and get away from evil people. If you have friends who with whom you do these things together, avoid them. If you use an Android phone, go and drop it somewhere. Turn off the phone. Log out of all these programs. Remove them from your phones. Avoid watching films. Go and pick up the smallest brand of phone you can find so that you are a bit away from the social media. Be yourself. Be with people. Attend lectures. Bismillah, in a short time, Allah will deliver you from that shackle of shaitan. Your case is similar to the case of the man who spoke to Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. That was the reason why he wrote that book, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. And that is why another name for Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa is Al-Jawabu Al-Kafi, a sufficient response. This kind of a question was the kind of a question exactly that the man asked Ibn al-Qayyim. He was committing a sin. He knew that that sin would destroy him. So he started asking the Sheikh, how do I get out of the sin? The Sheikh wrote a book in 400 pages or more, and some prints over 500, depending on the printing. So that was the matter that led to Ibn al-Qayyim's writing Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. If you remember, I've always been emphasizing that that book should be read to the public, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. Avoid reading it alone. Get a learned person to read it and explain it to you. Bismillah, you will gain more from the book. If a man reads Arabic and explains Arabic, he can read it to his wives and his children. Bismillah, bismillah, Allah will use it as a means of liberating them from the shackles of sins and illusions that take a person away from the religion of Allah. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this young man to liberate him from this evil and any other person, a man or a woman in a person in the same condition. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free them from this evil. I beg Allah to free them from this evil. I beg Allah to make the means of getting free from this evil easy for them, to accept their forgiveness asking, to accept their pardon asking, and make them from the best of the people of righteousness. This is my dua for those brothers. Bismillah. Sorry that I say this. We are in Makkah. I will tell the rest of the brothers to make dua. May Allah remove that brother from this evil. And the rest of our brothers, we may not know who may suffer the same troubles. I think it will be sufficient to stop here. It's really sickening, disturbing. May Allah protect each and every one of us. We can compile these questions. I can see a lot of questions here. Abu Abdurrahman. We can
compile
the questions, and maybe next Saturday we can provide responses for them, inshallah, in a question and answer series. I don't know whether you are able to get all the questions here compiled, so that we look at them, inshallah, one after the other, in the next class on Saturday before we continue with the reading on Al-Hayahu that we have started.
No,
I mean. Assalamu alaikum. ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.